Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. Today, Laura and I are so excited for you to hear from our friend Gretchen Saffels from Life Lived Beautifully. She is a wife and a mom, an entrepreneur, a business owner, and a minister of the gospel in everything she does. And she is on Risen Motherhood today talking all about kind of her journey into being a working mom and how she has learned to kind of balance some of the different aspects of her roles with the grace that God provides, looking to Christ for his sufficiency in everything that she does. So we know you are going to be so encouraged by this interview today. And anything that she mentions in the show, you can find in our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. So again, we know that you're going to be encouraged by this practical and just Christ-exalting interview, and you're going to love Gretchen. So enjoy. Well, hey, Gretchen, thank you so much for joining us today on Risen Motherhood. We're so happy to have you here.
Yes, thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to it.
Yes, us too. Let's dive in really fast here and get straight to it. Can you tell us a little bit about what your day looks like? You're a mom to Nolan, you're a wife, you have a business. So we just want to hear a little bit about Gretchen.
Yes, well, this is a fun question because we have no typical day, and I'm actually okay with that. Every day has its own different rhythm. So right now in this season, I work 3 days a week from home. And right for us, those 3 days, my son goes to someone's house who watches him, and that's from about 8 to 5. And during those hours are when I buckle down and I work really, really hard. So I try to plan out that day really well so that I'm utilizing all of that time. And usually I kind of go in and out and I try to do some housework too in between all of that. And then the other days I've got my son with me. And so we just have different rhythms for those days. We go to the gym, we have play dates, we run errands, and just tackle all of the different home projects that we have as well.
Yeah, I love the mix up of the days. I mean, even as not being a working mom, I know Emily and I can attest to, like, every day looks different as a mom, I think, no matter what you do, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it depends, too, on your child and how they're doing that day. And you can have an amazing plan for the day, and then everybody wakes up not feeling good or something. You just got to have the grace of flexibility.
Exactly. So yes. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Life Lived Beautifully? Emily and I are huge fans, and all of our listeners will probably have heard already about your journal and your business and how much we love you. But just give us a little synopsis of what the business is and kind of what your days look like with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run a business that I never really intended on it becoming what it is, which is definitely how the Lord works. My vision behind it is just to equip women to study God's word and to just stir in their hearts a passion to live for Christ every single day right where they are. So I do this mainly through social media because I think that's an amazing way to reach women across the world, which is just beyond my comprehension that we can do that. And I also view it as a great opportunity. Women, that's where they are. They're on social media. You're standing in the grocery line, flipping through it. And I hope that I can reach them with the truth of the gospel right where they are. And that whenever they're maybe seeing something that's discouraging or something that they would compare themselves to, that immediately they would just stop and see Christ and see just the glory of his word. And so through Life Lived Beautifully, we create different Bible study tools, so journals, Bible studies, and even fun things like coffee mugs that we hope are just a beacon of hope for women as they sip their fifth cup of coffee during the day, that they can see a reminder of who God is. So that's my biggest vision, is just to meet women. And I hope in the future for us to be able to connect with them a little bit more than just through the internet, maybe in more face-to-face interactions and things like that.
That is so encouraging, Gretchen. And I know I'm speaking for Laura and I when I say we both directly benefit from that yes. time that you spend. And God is definitely using you as kind of a conduit for his grace and reaching women with the gospel. Because I know, don't know how many times I'm scrolling through Instagram, and just like you said, there's like something a little discouraging. And then I will run across a post that you write that reminds me to focus on Christ. And it really is making an impact in the life of other women. And so I know that that is just a really worthwhile investment. Laura and I would both affirm that. So yes. We're glad that you take the time to do it, and we will make sure and link to everything for you guys listening in our show notes. Because if you're not like following that, you should.
Well, yeah. Well, and everything I write is preaching to myself. So it's not like, oh, people need to hear this. It's, oh, I've got to know this totally. And believe yes. this. So somebody else probably does too.
Oh, and totally. That's like basically the heart behind the Risen Motherhood as well. I mean, it's, we are not telling people what to do. We're like, this is for our own souls. And so we yes. understand that. And yeah. your days are more than just social media. Of course. I mean, you've got a team of women that you manage. You've got accounting yes. and books. You've got a shop. I mean, so your days yeah. are more than just, you know, putting up a meaningful social media post, which is valuable, yes. but as a full businesswoman. I mean, you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So I didn't even mention any of that. I do have a team. And we're actually in different states, which adds a whole different dynamic. I'm the only one who's in Tennessee. So we communicate mainly through video chat, mm-hmm. texting, email, things like that. And throughout the day, I'm designing and writing and communicating with our creative director, who her name is Rachel, and she's amazing. And then we're constantly casting vision about, okay, what are we going to do next? But we also, the part of my business that I don't love is the whole number crunching and figuring out, okay, you know, can we afford this? Can we do this? What does this look like? And thankfully I've got a wonderful business partner who handles all of the accounting, the numbers, the things that are not my strong suit. So we're able to come together and really, partner and strengthen each other in that, which is amazing.
Awesome. Incredible to hear about like all the different gifts, you know, that are even on your team of yes. women that are willing to kind of bring their stuff to the table so you guys can all yes. fit together and make this amazing business and ministry.
Yeah. And I got to a point where I realized I couldn't do it on my own. I was not, I wasn't doing anybody a favor trying to do everything on my own. Cause I can't do it all. And it was causing our family to not have the time that we needed, my marriage, and there was a lot of stress on our shoulders. So God, we prayed, and he brought alongside people that could come and bear up some of the load, and they could take on different aspects of the business where they are made to do that. They're mm-hmm. strongly gifted in those areas. And I'm so thankful. So I'm getting to the point where I'm able to focus more on the things that that God has called me to, instead of just all these other things that can kind of be a little sidetracking, you know, like, so I'm very, very thankful for that. And it's neat to learn how to champion other women to do what God's called them to do. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So did you always think that you would be, you know, a mom and be working, or did you want to be a stay-at-home mom, or kind of what were some of, what did you think it would be like, and any misconceptions that you had?
Yes. Okay. So I never dreamed of working at all. Like I always dreamed of being a stay-at-home mom. I just saw that as such a gift and a treasure and an opportunity. And so, like I said, I never imagined Life Lived Beautifully to become what it was or what it is today. And so when I got pregnant, I kind of wrestled through, what does this look like? You know, I had all the mom guilt even before I became a mom. And I think no matter what season you're in, whether you do work or you don't work, or we all carry that different guilt. And mm-hmm. The enemy has his way of finding that one little area that he can kind of just pinpoint on us to make us feel like we're not doing enough or we're not being enough. And so I struggled with that at first. What does that look like to stay at home, to... I love what I do in ministry and in business, but then I also love being a stay-at-home mom. And so I've had to walk this line with a whole lot of grace, because sometimes I'll focus way too much on one and not on the other. And finding where the two meet in the middle is a daily just surrender to the Lord and saying, God, what does this look like today? Because mm-hmm. it changes every single day with the needs. And some of the misconceptions that I had, well, one, I think that working outside the home, you can often look inside the home and go, oh, it'd be so much easier to be a stay-at-home mom. Or if you're a stay-at-home mom, you think, oh, it'd be so much easier to be working so I don't have to do all these things here. And so I think that it goes both ways. And being in the middle where I also work from home is a really weird dynamic because I'll be sitting in, my laundry room is in my office. So I have a whole pile of laundry sitting next to us right now that as I'm working, I have to think, okay, God, what is my role in this second? So, you know, am I supposed to be doing the laundry right now? Or am I supposed to be writing something or creating something or emailing? And so really relying on the Lord and learning to plan my days well. But I think that we're always looking to the other thing, you know, to, yes. Oh, it'd be so much easier if it was like that. And it's really not. Whether you are a stay-at-home mom, you're working. You are working. You're working so hard for the kingdom. Or if you are working outside the home, if that's what God's called you to, or stay at home, there's different obstacles that come with all of those. But really, they can be opportunities. And so for us to see, okay, God, you've called me to this in this season, that's what gives us hope and purpose in what we do.
Totally. And such a good lesson for like every single mom of, you know, we tend to put things in a box and think that it is simple, just like what you're saying, Gretchen, but we all need to view it as that second by second surrender of, Lord, what have you called me to do right now? You know, yeah. And we all have to be willing to lay aside like our plans and our preconceived notions about how the day was going to go or our agenda so that we can work hard for him in that moment, whether that's working hard at home or working hard outside the home, whatever that looks like. I think that's such a universal need that we all have to continually surrender to the Lord.
Yeah. One thing that that came to my mind, I think it was last year, but was just, I can't run my race wearing my sister's shoes. Mm. So I can't be constantly looking to what somebody else is doing and thinking, oh, well, I should be doing that, or I'm not doing enough, or, you know, comparing motherhood and working and all of these different aspects. We just can't do that and be faithful to the Lord. We've got to keep our eyes on him. We've got to constantly go back to the Word, see what he's called us to do, and then align everything we do with that. And so I've gotten a lot of freedom from that, and it's something I have to remind myself of pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm. And well, and this plays a little bit into that, but did God convict you of anything in particular as you grew in your role in motherhood, you know, some of these issues that you're talking about facing, can you just explain through some of these things that you had to make changes on as you grew as a mom? And a working mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's honestly in every season and in every stage of my son's life, there's been different convictions the Lord has brought. So in the beginning, I honestly, one of the hardest things was trying to get something done and then viewing my son as more of an interruption. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would be working on something and maybe a blog post to encourage women, and he would wake up from his nap early. And immediately my heart would start to grumble and go, oh, Lord, I'm doing something for you. And my son is awake and I can't finish it. And I had this misconception of the fact that that's kingdom work, going and nursing my son and taking care of him, that when the moment he wakes up, God has switched my role and I'm his mama right then. Mm. And so he really convicted me of that my son and my future children, they are not obstacles. They're not interruptions. They are a blessing and they are God's calling in my life. And so I've had to really learn the grace of flexibility and saying, okay, in this moment, it's changed and I want to be faithful to God and what he's given me. But then as he got older and as I was able to actually get some help and maybe even be a little bit more independent, so I wasn't nursing anymore, so I could be away from him a little bit longer, the big conviction came in with comparing myself to other women and saying, well, they're doing all of these things. Surely I can do all of this. And I found myself taking on way too much, even in the past year, to the point where I ran myself into the ground. I was saying yes to everything and not yes to the things that God had called me to and no to the right things. And so that comparison actually led me to kind of this pit where I just had to stop everything for a while. I actually had health problems that arose at the same time too, but those were God's grace. They were his wake up call for me to say, hey, you can't do it all. Nobody can do it all other than Jesus. And so I had to lay aside all my roles, all of my dreams, all my passions, and just say, okay, God, what have you called me to in this season? So He's really showed me that my limits are for his glory, and because he's limitless. So when I recognize I can't do it all, but I know the one who can do it all, and I can be faithful to the things he's called me to each day, that changed everything for me.
That is such an incredible lesson and encouragement. I think as you're talking about like interruptions, and I was thinking for you, yeah, like whether it's a blog post or a phone call that your kiddo's not feeling well, but I know, you know, there are mommies that are on their nurse shift or they're at school or whatever, and that thing comes up with their kiddos. And I'm sure it is just really easy to view that as an interruption. I mean, I view it as an interruption when I'm trying to fold laundry and somebody needs a snack, you know? So I think we all have that feeling of like, oh, this is getting in the way of what I was wanting to do. And like you said, shifting that focus to, no, this is kingdom work. This is also part of my ministry. This is another aspect of my role. And yeah, acknowledging our limits is so important. I feel like you're just speaking to my soul, sure, Laura. Yeah.
That too. Well, and I just looked to Jesus' life, and he constantly had interruptions. He had, in Mark 1, I think it is, in Mark 1:35, Jesus goes away to pray and to be alone with the Father, and the disciples come and interrupt him. Mm. And immediately Jesus isn't like, excuse me, I'm alone with the Father. No, he talks to them, and he goes straight away with them, and he says, look, I've got some new direction. We're going to go to this place. I'm going to preach the good news there. And so he didn't view interruptions as obstacles, but as opportunities. And there's even a time when he was going through the crowd, and whenever the bleeding woman touches him and he's going to heal somebody, and yet he stops right away and he doesn't get on to her. Instead, he heals her because of her faith. And so I saw those things in scripture, and I constantly do. And I see Jesus in no way was impatient with these people. Mm-hmm. He saw it as kingdom work. He saw it as, in this moment, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to give to them. And I'm going to see that God, he's in control of time. We don't even understand time. We get so kind of imprisoned by the clock, I feel like, and by our planners, when really we need to just look to the Lord, and he sees it all. So some days where we don't get anything done, we feel like on our to-do list that we did exactly what God was calling us to do that day, whether it is taking care of a sick child or dealing with a lot of interruptions and things like that. So I think that it is that constant surrender, constantly looking to Christ, who has already gone before us and who goes with us every single step of the way. And I actually wanted to read a verse to y'all that I constantly go back to. It's in Colossians 1:29. But Paul is actually talking about doing his ministry, and he's there to proclaim the gospel. He wants to encourage people with the hope of Jesus Christ. And he says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And that changes everything. We're not working with our own energy. We're working with the energy of Christ within us. And he equips us to do what he's called us to do.
Well, and that's such good news. I mean, for any mom, as Emily was saying, I mean, I can see it really fitting well into my day. And even for someone who is at like an accounting job all day, or, you know, they, like Emily said, a nurse, and she's working a 12-hour shift and then has to go home and be a mom. And just that these things, you know, that we are working for Christ for eternity, and both of these jobs matter and have value. And I think, you know, one thing we want to just encourage any mom listening, if you're listening to Gretchen, and it can be easy to see, I think, Gretchen, where you are doing kingdom work at home as a mom, as we talk about a lot, and then also in your business, because it really is focused on sort of an obvious way of encouraging mm-hmm. women for eternity. But we want to encourage the mom who's listening, who feels like, my job doesn't exactly relate, you know, like, how is it gospel centered mm-hmm. for me to go and be a teacher or to work in public relations or communications or whatever you're doing at your corporate job, maybe. And like, we want to encourage you guys to all know that no matter what you're doing, those things are for eternity and for the gospel. Yes. And that mm-hmm. these limits that are placed on us, like, you have them as well as any mom at home, but that Christ strengthens you in whatever you do. And so that the gospel matters no matter what your day looks like and what your job description is, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. And we can serve the Lord in everything that we do, which exactly. is amazing. So like you said, all of those different jobs. Before I did this, I actually worked in a store, in a clothing store. And this looked so different. You know, okay, how do I serve the Lord whenever I'm picking out clothes for women? And God really brought so many opportunities once I changed my perspective to see I can serve people in this area. I can serve them with the love of Christ working within me, and not just to get something done. Can I recommend a book that I just read that is so good and I think would encourage anybody listening?
Sure.
It's the book, What's Best Next. I think I told y'all about it by Matt Furman. And it has really helped give me this reality check with how I spend my time. How am I serving other people in Jesus' name? How am I living out with this greater picture of the gospel driving everything that I do? So like even when I'm grocery shopping and, you know, I'm in the store connecting with people there, how am I loving them in Jesus' name? How do they see that I'm the salt and light of the earth because Christ is within me? And so it really changes my perspective on everything that I do. Even when I'm not doing things with Lifeway Beautifully, there's so much of our life that nobody sees whenever I'm folding laundry. Like nobody can see my heart attitude. Mm-hmm. Nobody can see yours, but the Lord does. And that's what matters the most.
Mm-hmm. So, as mothers, we all know we have this biblical calling to pass on the gospel to our children. And that's no matter what your day looks like and where you spend the majority of your time or some of your time. So Gretchen, you know, this is something that takes, as you know, a lot of planning, a lot of intentionality, and really understanding your purpose. So how do you balance this while being a working mom? And what are some of those difficult choices that you've had to make?
Yeah, well, my son is 20 months right now. So he's at this stage where he's kind of young to comprehend a lot of things, but he's also getting older where he can come alongside with me. So there's a few ways that I try to do this in our own family. The first thing is I want to bring Nolan along with me in what I'm doing. I want him to see that this is kingdom work, that this matters for the Lord, and that this is important. I want to show him the value of hard work and the value of reaching out to people and serving them in Jesus' name. So I try to bring him along with me as much as I can, whether it's traveling, whether even if he sees me doing something, working on something. I know once he gets older and starts asking questions, I'll be able to explain the purpose more. But right now, I want him to be able to see my actions and my attitude and my heart's response to these things. The other thing, since he's still young, I still am trying to bring in scripture into our days. So whether it's reading scripture out loud whenever he's sitting at breakfast, Psalm 100 is a psalm. It's only 5 verses. And I want to teach him that psalm. It's a simple one. And I want to go ahead and hide that truth in his heart. So I read that out loud to him. And I actually made a book for him for Christmas. You know how you can make those like picture books with their pictures throughout? I made one of those. And I kind of wrote a short little story, but I included scripture throughout it too. Because little kids love looking at pictures of themselves.
Yep.
And so I was like, okay, he can look at himself. And then I can also have scripture that I want him to know. And so that was one way that I was trying to think of, okay, what's a creative way to hide this truth in his heart so it's right before his eyes. And then the last way that I'm learning to do this and to pass on the gospel to him is through loving discipline. And this is a hard one. But learning that, you know, to discipline him right now, to show him his boundaries and the things that he can't do. And as he's learning his own personality and that he has his own will, that to discipline him in a loving, corrective way and to show him the right way to go is actually passing on the gospel to him. Because that's what the Lord, the Father does for us, because he loves us so much. He disciplines us and he shows us this is the better way to go. He wants us to be more like Christ. And so this one is probably the hardest one for me right now, is learning, okay, you know, I don't want to just let these things slide. And I want him to see why it's important to not touch the stove or things like that, to lovingly correct him in the name of Christ and to show him this is the better way because I love you. And I'm sure y'all can show me a lot more about that.
I don't know. Laura and I are really still trying to figure it out, but you gave so many good examples in there, Gretchen, of just like really practical things that moms can do. And one thing I wanted to pull out that I think would be helpful for any mom, whether you're working or not, is to attach passing along the gospel to a rhythm in your day that's already happening with your children. Whether that's like breakfast or before bed or in the car on the way to, you know, take them to whoever their caregiver is. I need that as a stay-at-home mom, you know, because it doesn't just, I mean, it does happen naturally a little bit, but I need that reminder of the thing that happens every day. And so I think that that's something that if a mom is wondering like, well, what's one thing I can start to do right now in our busy life to be intentional is to, like you said, find that time of day where it can just trigger that repeated routine. You're not adding something new. You're just capitalizing on a time that you already have with your child.
Yeah. And just leaving the things out, the tools out that are necessary to do that. So if you want to teach them scripture, like leave the scripture cards sitting out where they're going to grab them and you can say, oh, let's read this out loud. And you know, having it right there or listening, we listen to Seeds Family Worship, which is like scripture, you know, they sing scripture. And I love it. First of all, me and Greg are singing it all the time, but you know, Nolan, he'll clap to it. And I'm thinking the Lord is hiding these things in his heart. Mm-hmm. Like these are little seeds that God is planting and I trust that he's going to water it to make it grow up to be this fruit of the gospel in his own life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to be honest, we do a quiet time each morning with our kids in the morning at breakfast. And there have been some days that I haven't really wanted to do it because I want to get some stuff done because we're trying to get out the door and I need to make lunches or do whatever. And my son will point at the counter where we keep our book and our Bible and he will say, we got to do our quiet time, Mom. We can't miss our quiet time. And just like the Lord has used him to convict me of like, maybe I have remembered it, but have said that needs to wait because something else is more important or more pressing at this moment. And my son, my 3-year-old, will remind me of, hey, this is what's important. And because we've built it into a rhythm and as a routine, like it's pretty neat to see how God uses that to just keep it in the forefront of our minds and how children really do latch on and love those things. I mean, while they love it, let's do it. You know, these little years are the years that they're going to soak it up willingly and hopefully for a very long time, but especially now we're really building that foundation as we're all talking about with these younger children of a habit that should hopefully last forever.
Yeah. Wow. That is so neat to hear.
I know it's sort of embarrassing for me to admit, I'll be honest. Because I'm like, you know, so.
Yes. Motherhood is sanctifying.
Oh, it so is. So is. So anything else, Gretchen, as we wrap up our time together, that you would just, any charge that you would like to give to working moms or encouragement or something that's been especially edifying for you that you'd just like to kind of leave as a last word?
Yeah. One of the things that I've learned so much is that God is greater than my ability. We work with his ability and his power within us. So our insufficiencies and the things that we try to hide from other people, those are the things that we can truly boast in and say, God, you know, I am weak, but you are strong. And a prayer that I pray all the time, I was actually looking through some old journals the other day and I found where I started writing it like years ago, is Jesus, be in me all that I cannot be. So I cannot be the wife, the mother, the worker, the creative, all of these things, the daughter, the friend, without Christ within me. Because in my own strength, I can't measure up. But with Christ within me, he is the one who measures up. He equips us for what he calls us to do. And our insufficiencies and the things that we feel like we don't measure up, those are just something that we can lay at the cross and see that Christ, he is the fullness of all in all. He is everything that we need. He gives us what we need for every single moment of the day. And that changes everything. So for the wife, for the mama who's listening, if you stay at home, if you work, and if you're feeling just like you are less than or not enough or like you can't accomplish the things that God has called you to, I just want to challenge you to look to Christ to see that he is your sufficiency. He is everything that you need. And to pray that prayer, Jesus, be in me all that I cannot be. And to know that he absolutely is going to do that. He is going to come and he is going to show up in your days. And he's so faithful to do that. So that's something that I have to preach to myself often and that I hope encourages you as well.
So good. It's early morning here and I know we're feeling like all the warm fuzzies of like, yes, I'm going to go look to Christ today and let him be all that I cannot be.
We have not faced the day yet, but we're feeling real good right now while our kids are sleeping.
Yes.
But that is such great encouragement. Gretchen, thank you so much for being on the show. We truly appreciate it. I mean, I know there's so much wisdom here for moms from all walks of life. And so we appreciate your business. We're grateful for what you do. And just thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.